Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Northwoods Online. My name's Trey.
I'm Hope, and we are so glad that you are here to worship with us this morning.
Yeah. And in fact, if this is your first time here, we've got something really special just to make a church that can be really large to feel a little bit more personal. You're going to see a number coming across the bottom of your screen right now. Go ahead, text the word new, N-E-W, to that. And we'd love just to get you in touch with a real person, figure out who you are and how we can help get you connected.
Absolutely.
And for those of you, again, that have been here for a little while, we have something coming up next, which is the
Connection card.
That's right. You go ahead, log in your Northwoods app, go through there, let us know that you're joining us online for whichever service you're joining from, and we'd love to connect with you in that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the great things that you can do in that connection card is actually send in a prayer request, and that gets sent on to our team who will be praying for you. But if you have a need that you want prayed for right now in this moment, we have a live prayer team standing by.
Yeah.
So just join us on northwoods.online and click that request prayer button. And while you're there, we would love for you to join the chat and say hi. You know, I actually had a really great experience last weekend where I got to meet several of you who are regulars in the chat. And it was so cool to finally put actual physical faces to names that I see on the screen and to see that I had built relationships with all of those people and then got to carry those relationships into meeting in person, which was so awesome.
Yeah.
So know that true community, real community happens in the chat. And I encourage you to join, say hi, tell us where you're tuning in from this morning.
Absolutely. And this morning, Pastor John mentioned this last week, but we're going to this new series on worship, and we're kind of switching things up a little bit, okay? So first off, we're starting off with announcements, and then we're going to go into an extended time of worship followed by a message, and then coming back into some more worship at the end.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah,
I'm
don't
so
worry.
Excited.
Your computers aren't bugging out. We did this on purpose, okay? But in order to get us into worship, I just wanted to share just a quick verse with us as we get ready. In Psalm 103, it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. My whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am, praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me." And what I love about worship is it's not confined to one space. It's not just here in the church, right? But you at home sitting right now, I'm challenging you, all right? I know you hear me, challenging you. So go ahead, stand up right now, turn your speakers up, and we're going to sing loud along with the words that we have coming out of our worship time today.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. I mean, you guys probably know Trey and I love worshiping.
That's
it's
right.
Something that we're both passionate about. And I just encourage you to step out this morning and engage in a way that maybe you don't normally on Sundays. I know it's easy for me, even as somebody who loves worship. When I'm home, sometimes I just sit on the couch and I'm like, do I sing to just myself? But I'm like, I can be in the car and belt out worship songs, no problem.
Yeah.
So I encourage you, sing loud, praise the Lord this morning. But before we get to that, we do have some really important announcements. So I'm going to hand it over to Nathan. Have a great service.
See ya.
Good morning, Northwoods Church. Are you guys awake? I mean, I hope so. You got an extra hour of sleep last night, right? Who loves that extra hour of sleep? That's good. And you don't have to stand yet. We're doing things a little differently here this morning. I know. You're like, what's happening? Well, this is not our usual. Yeah, we're switching it up for this series. We're going to do announcements first before we go into worship. Okay? So, again, welcome, welcome, welcome. This morning, this Sunday, to Northwoods Community Church, we're glad that you've joined us. I want to say first, if you're here today and you're brand new, or maybe this is only your second, third time coming, we are so happy you're here. We love new people, but we want to meet you. So if you're new, pull out your phone, text the number on the screen, or go out to a New Here kiosk, because this isn't just about you coming to attend a service. This is about being connected to a family. That's what the Lord wants you to be a part of, is in His family. So if you're brand new, text that number, go to a kiosk. We'd love to meet you. For the rest of you guys, you know, open up that Northwoods app, that connection card. And if you want more information on anything I say today, you can just check a box and we'll send you an email, give you more information. All right? Now, every Sunday, we stop and we say thank you for your giving, because it is your giving that allows us to do everything we do here at Northwoods. It fuels all the ministries. So thank you, thank you, thank you to those of you that generously and sacrificially give. If you're giving today, You can give online, you can give by text, you can give at the drop boxes at the back of the auditorium, whatever works best for you. Now, speaking of giving, okay, here's one thing your giving has allowed us to do is November 20th, we're gonna release our very first original worship song. Now, come on, somebody. It's written by our team for our church. Yes, we're very excited about it. So just mark that down somewhere so you know it's gonna be released across various music platforms. And then those of you that have Spotify, okay, let me hear it for Spotify over Apple Music. We actually have right here, if you'll just scan that QR code, you can see a playlist that we curate on Spotify that has all the songs we sing here every weekend at Northwoods. So if you wanna sing in your car, at work, at home, those songs you know and love here at church, just scan that QR code. It'll take you right to our Spotify playlist. Now, we've got one other thing I need to let you know about coming up this Friday, all right, here on the Peoria campus in the Student Center, we have what's called the Healing Place. And the Healing Place is, it happens because we still believe that the Lord Jesus loves to heal people's bodies today. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so when we gather this Friday, we're gonna worship, we're gonna have some teaching about physical healing, and then we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray for those of you that come and have sickness in your body. So if you or someone you know has any kind of sickness in your body, we wanna invite you to come, because we have a gracious, merciful Lord who has the power to heal, and he loves to heal. So we'd invite you, come on out, join us. You never know what the Lord might do, okay? That's what I've got for you today. Now you can stand up on your feet. Okay, we're gonna go right into worship. Let me pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we can enter boldly into your presence by the blood, by your broken body. And Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you would turn our hearts and our minds and our love towards Jesus again. Lord, we ask that you'd give to us this morning that garment of praise, in return for where we're discouraged, where we've despaired, where we're hopeless today. Fill our mouths and our hearts and our minds with your praise this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Let's praise the Lord.
Psalm 119, verse 175 says, "Let me live so that I might praise you." But Jesus, this morning we praise you. You alone are worthy. We exalt your name together. Sing with me, won't you? Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. Oh, we sing with all we are and we claim your victory. So let it rise. The giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. Let it rise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Let's declare this. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive. Pray.
church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we were singing, we sing about you're my banner. Now, there's a passage in Exodus where Moses said, the Lord is my banner. And he's really speaking of the idea that the Lord is my victory. And I want to remind you this morning, the Lord is your victory. And you might have come in here this morning feeling defeated, feeling down in despair. But again, I want you to get it on your lips this morning. The Lord is my victory. Come on, let's say it together. The Lord is my victory. Thank you, Lord, that you are our victory. Come on, give him praise. We praise you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you are our victory. And your word says that your banner over us is love. Thank you for your love this morning, Lord. I pray even right now that you would help us to experience your love for us. Your love isn't just a theological concept. It's not just something we study. It's something to be experienced. Thank you that your banner over us is love. And we give you all the praise in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, thanks for worshiping with us. Before you're seated, I want you to turn around. I want you to say hi to somebody and say, good to see you this morning. Amen. Well, I am excited to be here this morning. You know, yesterday my brother and I were up in Indiana. We were actually in Goshen, Indiana, and we ran our very first Spartan race. It was a 6-mile race with about 25 to 30 obstacles you had to go through. We've been training for that. And when we got to the starting line yesterday morning, it was raining and it was cold and it was windy. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, what am I doing with my life right now? Why am I doing this? And then there was some guy there who kept saying, like, you guys are all wonderful people. You know what? No one's making you do this. And I was like, yeah, you're right. No one is making me do this. Why am I doing this? But you know what? I'm thankful I have my brother with me. And there's another guy from Northwoods who actually went up with us. He had run 22 of them. And so when he found out we were going, he decided to come and run with us. And so he kind of showed us the ropes, kind of paced us. And so it was good. I made it. I told our staff on Thursday, I said, hey, if you see me preaching on Sunday, you know I made it. If I'm not here on Sunday, send help immediately because I'm still up there on the course somewhere. So we made it through, and I'm glad to be back here with you today as we kick off a new series titled High Praise. You know, last summer I came across a small book titled Holy Roar. And it's written by a pastor named Darren Whitehead and a well-known Christian singer that you probably know named Chris Tomlin. And in this small little book, they unpacked the meaning of the 7 different Hebrew words used in the Old Testament for praise. And somehow I had never realized that there were 7 different Hebrew words for the word praise. And so this was very eye-opening for me. You see, when we read our English Bible, we read phrases like praise the Lord, praise his holy name, and to us, the word praise is just the same throughout, the word praise. But in the language in which the Old Testament was written, the word for praise, the word that we translate praise, can be a different word because there are 7 different Hebrew words used that the ancient Israelites used to express their praise to God. And when we understand the depth of expression embodied in our praise of God, it will change the way we worship the Lord. I mean, there's words that refer to the lifting of the hands. There's words that refer to kneeling. There's words that refer to dancing, shouting. I mean, it really will transform the way we worship. And so next week and the week after, we're going to unpack those 7 words. So next week, my brother Nathan will start by talking through 3 of the words, and then I'll close us out by walking through the last 4. But before we get into those 7, which really talks is the idea of how we praise God, I want to start today by laying the foundation for this series by exploring why we praise God. Why do we do this? Now, have you ever wondered why, when you come here to Northwoods or even at any church you've ever been to all across this country, across the world, there's always some portion of the service, there's always some element of praise and worship, praising God through song, music. Ever wondered why that is? You know, as a kid, I thought the reason we had worship was just so kind of to get people warmed up for the message. You know, like, hey, it's been a long week, shake the cobwebs off, and then, okay, it's just kind of getting us ready for the message. It's kind of like, in my mind, I was big into sports, so it's kind of like stretching before you go out and, like, do the game, actually. Or, like, if you want to think about it in dinner terms, it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and they bring you a basket of rolls. That's kind of what worship was. It's kind of like the basket of rolls kind of just, you know, it's a good thing, but it kind of holds you over for the main, until we get to the main course. Or you go to the movies and here's the previews, right? In my mind, the worship was kind of like the previews. It's a good thing, but it's really, it's not the main thing we're doing here. In other words, I had this idea that praise and worship, you know, it had a place. It's a good thing, but it wasn't of immense importance. It's really just kind of holding a place until we get to the part where we, you know, preach God's word. But here's the question. Is this how Scripture views praise and worship? Or does God's word have other reasons for why we worship him? So to answer those questions this morning, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 103. So if you have your Bible, that's where we're going to be, Psalm 103. We're not going to have time to walk through the entire psalm, but we will walk through the first five verses, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. And as always, the scriptures will be on the screen. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, you can do that as well. So as you're turning there, if you have your Bible, the book of Psalms has 150 chapters divided into five different books. And while many of us often read the Psalms, you know, we do it in our Bible reading plan, the reality is that the Psalms were actually meant to be sung. Many times we just read them. There's nothing wrong with that, but the Psalms were meant to be sung. In fact, the Psalms were Israel's hymn book that was used in their public worship of God. I mean, Psalms literally means praises. And the Psalms, actually, if you read through them, they have different genres. They're songs of thanksgiving, praise, lament, trust, wisdom, and others. But today, we're going to focus on Psalm 103, which is a praise psalm written by King David. And in this psalm, I see that there's several reasons why. We're taught several reasons why we should praise God. Here's the first reason for all you that take notes. Reason number one, because God's mind conceived our praise. Because God's mind conceived our praise. Now, if you're wondering, like, what do you totally mean by that? Here's what I mean, just real simple. I just mean that God created us to praise him. God created us to praise him. We are designed and created to praise. Look at how David starts out the psalm. He says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." You know, while there are many psalms, you'll see that are public calls to worship. It's like everybody praise the Lord. David starts this psalm with a personalized call to praise. He said, "Praise the Lord, my soul." So he's coaching himself to praise God. He's coaching himself to praise God because I think he knows that he was created to praise God. This is what he was created to do. In fact, look at what he says elsewhere in Psalm 139. He said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So not only is he saying, "I praise you because you have fearfully and wonderfully created me," but I think there's a sense in which we are fearfully and wonderfully created to praise God. This is how he has created us. You know, in their book, Sing, by Keith and Kristen Getty, they had this to share about our makeup. They said around the 12-week mark, the vocal cords of a baby growing in the womb are in place and have been shown to work long before the baby is born. So while each of us might sound different, the reality is each of us have the same vocal apparatus. So that's you, me, Bono, Sinatra, we all got the same vocal apparatus. breath flowing up from our lungs, vibrating through the vocal cords in our throat, and pushing out sound through the articulators of our mouth, tongue, and lips. And then they went on to say that singing is not merely a happy byproduct of God's real intent of making us creatures who can speak. It's something we are designed to be able to do. We are created to sing and praise the Lord. There are many psalms that talk about how all of creation is designed to give praise to the Lord. Like even his creation, the oceans, the mountains, it's all designed to praise him and point to him. Remember, Jesus said, if these people don't cry out, the stones will. The stones will praise me. We are created to praise the Lord. And I also want to point out that he said, I think this is important, this has stuck with me. He said, praise the Lord, my soul. My soul. I don't want you to miss this. In the Bible, the soul is likened to the part of us that thinks, feels, wills, and desires. So here's what I want you to get. This teaches us that praise starts with your soul, not with your lips. Praise starts with your soul, not with your lips. And this is significant because we would tend to think that only those who have great voices and are pleasant to the ears were created to sing and praise. But when we start talking about praise originating at the soul heart level, this implies every one of us, regardless of how well you can keep a tune, regardless of how well you can match pitch, regardless of how well you sing, we were all created to sing and praise the Lord. I have to be reminded of this. I needed this reminder because I would definitely fall into the camp of what I would call vocally challenged when it comes to singing. Do I have any vocally challenged folks out there who aren't afraid to admit it? Okay, I'm with you, all right? It's all good. We got each other. In fact, one time, after I had just given a message here on Sunday morning, I called the worship team back up to lead us in one more song. And so I stepped off to the side of the stage right over there, and so I go over there, and I was singing along with them as we're singing and closing out. And I'm singing, you know, I'm praising the Lord. And if you were here, you didn't hear me in the house here. Because even though my mic was on, the people in the tech booth back there, our sound guy, he had my mic muted. So you can't hear me. So I can sing as loud as I want, and it's not coming to the microphone up here. But there's another sound booth in the basement. This controls what's happening up here. The sound booth in the basement controls the audio that goes out on our broadcast. So this is the audio that goes out to all those, maybe you watching online right now, watching at home. And for whatever reason, my mic did not get muted on the broadcast audio that went out. And so they got to hear me in all my glory, just belting it out to the Lord. You know, the picture is of the team worshiping, but you're hearing this person singing, and it does not sound pretty. Like, what is going on? He's like humming in the background, and I'll praise you, Lord. Like, and it's coming through. They heard me. Everybody online heard me singing loud and clear. And let's just say it was not a pretty sound. In fact, my brother Nathan, he heard it on the broadcast and found me after the service. He had a good laugh at me, but he was like, dude, your mic was on, you were out of tune. I mean, you were off beat, out of pitch, like everything, you were just off. And I'm like, man, well, brother, I mean, not all of us were created like you. It just doesn't come naturally to me. And we had a good laugh about it. Now, I had people in the first service saying like, could you like show the video? Like, can we listen to the audio? No, you can't. All evidence has been destroyed, okay? Actually, I don't know if it's been destroyed, but we're not showing it. Now, because of that, I do sometimes get a little bit paranoid. So whenever I walk off to the side of the stage, I turn my mic off just in case. But here's the point. Just because I'm not a great singer in no way nullifies the fact or removes me from this idea that God created us to sing. Just because I'm not a good singer doesn't mean that God hasn't also created me to sing. It's not just those who have a beautiful voice and who can hold a tune who were created to sing. It's everybody, because singing and praising God starts at the soul level. And so when we're praising, you know what? If you're not a great singer, it's okay. I'm with you. You don't have to worry about what anybody thinks. You just belt it out to the Lord. It's you and him. Nobody's even focusing on you. Everybody else is focusing on the Lord. And so don't be afraid to raise your voice and sing to the Lord. You were created to praise the Lord. So why do we sing to the Lord? Because and praise the Lord? Because we're created to praise. Let me give you another reason. Because God's being commands our praise. Because God's being commands our praise. Look back at Psalm 103. Verse 1 again, he said, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. This is who he is. Our God is holy. He is a holy God, and because he is holy, it commands our praise. You know, I love one quote I recently heard from author Jackie Hill Perry. She said, if God is holy, then he can't sin. If God can't sin, then he can't sin against you. And if he can't sin against you, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being there is? That's a great thought. And I would add to it, not only does it make God the most trustworthy being there is, it also makes him the most praiseworthy being there is. So to be holy means to be without sin. We praise God. His holiness, it just commands our praise. We should praise him. He is holy. So it speaks about the idea of being without sin, but it also speaks to the idea, when we talk about being holy, of being set apart and altogether different than the created order. You know, when I think of something being set apart, it reminds me of a football that my dad handed down to me. And it's a football that's unlike any other football that I've ever had. It's a football from Super Bowl 31. It was a football from the game, Super Bowl 31. The Packers won this Super Bowl. Again, all you Bears fans, you know, someday another Super Bowl will come to you. But listen, the ball is not only a Super Bowl 31 ball, but it's signed by the great quarterback Brett Favre for the Packers. And since this football is different from any other football I have, I don't treat it like any other football. It's set apart. It's in a display case up on a shelf in my office. And in a similar fashion, just like that autographed Super Bowl football is unlike any other football I have and gets treated differently, so God is unlike anyone or anything else and should be treated differently than anyone or anything else. Everything else has been created, but he and he alone stands outside of creation, and he is holy. And his being, who he is, commands our praise. He's holy, and it commands our praise. So why do we praise God? Because he's created us to praise, because his being commands our praise. And then here's another reason. Reason number three, because God's works compel our praise. Because God's works compel our praise. David goes on to say in verses 2, we'll start with this verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. So there's a sense here that when we forget the character of God and all that he's done, we will be praiseless. But when we continually remember the benefits that life with God brings, it should compel us to praise him. Right? It's the idea that as we reflect on all that God does in our lives, we can't help but praise him. So in case we need to be reminded, let's walk through the benefits package. You know, when you go and work, right, some of us can get all up in arms about our benefits package, but you know what? There ain't nothing to be up in arms about when you talk about the benefit package that we get from the Lord. It's incredible. David goes on to list several benefits. He says in verses 3 through 5, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So let's just, for a few moments, let's walk through that benefit package. Here's the first benefit. He says, forgives all your sins. Who forgives all your sins. It doesn't say that God forgives some of our sins. It says he forgives all of our sins. All meaning past, present, future. Even the sins you have yet to commit. He's already forgiven them. Because they were placed on the cross with Jesus and he paid the price for them. Now, this past week, I had the privilege of being in Washington, D.C. with my wife, Michaela, and a few other from the Dunlap School District, and her school, Hickory Grove Elementary, just a quarter mile up the road here from our Peoria campus, was one of 17 schools in the state of Illinois that received this Blue Ribbon Award for high exemplary performance. And so her and the principal of her school there were there to accept the award on behalf of the school. And so I went along with her. I was just kind of like to tag along. And on Thursday, we had some free time, so we got to do a little bit of touring. And one of the places we stopped was at the World War II Memorial. Now, this is a newer memorial. It was actually, I think it was constructed under George Bush back in maybe 2004. So it's a newer memorial. And I had been there before, and I've seen it, but I've never really taken time to, I think I just kind of walked past it because I was there for just a couple hours one time. We were trying to see as much as possible. So we stopped, and as you walk through the memorial, you come to this small pool, and the water's just a few inches deep. And as you're looking at the pool, your eyes are caught by this granite wall behind the pool. And it immediately grabs your attention because you realize there are 4,000 gold stars. So there's gold stars all over this wall behind the pool. And each star, it tells you, represents 100 American lives lost during the war. So if you're counting, that's over 400,000 American lives that were lost. Then as you look down, you see the words engraved right in front of the pool. Here we mark the price of freedom. And I have a picture for you. I'll show you what that looks like. So you see the stars there on the back. There's the small pool in front of it. And then you see that engraving that says, here we mark the price of freedom. And standing there, you're hit with the enormity of that number. You know, it's sobering to think of the price that was paid for our freedom. You can't help but be thankful for the men and women who gave their lives to defend the freedoms that we enjoy today. And so as we continued on with, you know, we walked to the next thing, that phrase though stuck with me. Here we mark the price of freedom. It just stuck with me throughout the day. Throughout the day, I kept finding myself reflecting on not only the price that was paid for my physical freedom. But then I started thinking about the price that was paid for my spiritual freedom. Because you know, when I think of Jesus on the cross, hanging on the cross, paying the price for my sins, it might as well have been engraved on the ground below, here we mark the price of freedom. And the price was that Jesus gave his life, was crucified on a cross so that he might set us free from the penalty and the power of sin over our lives. And when we reflect on the price that was paid for our spiritual freedom, it should lead us to want to praise the Lord. And how often do we tend to, it's not that we forget that we've surrendered our life to Jesus and all that's happened on the cross, but I think many times we just kind of lose sight of the fact of just how amazing that is. That he did that for us. He did that for you. He did that for me. I find that I often have to pray the words of David in Psalm 51 when he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Restore to me. You know, many times we surrender our life to Jesus. There's a joy that comes with it. But then as you walk on in your relationship with the Lord, it's kind of like you just kind of forget and that joy goes away. But it should never go away. We should always be reminded and have that joy that, man, Jesus died on the cross and saved me from my sin. This is incredible. And therefore, I'm going to praise him. God, may we never lose the joy of our salvation. We praise you, Lord, because you forgive all of our sins. So he forgives us. That should compel us to praise him. David goes on, he heals. It says he heals all your diseases. You know, this ties right in with one of the names God gave himself when he told Moses and the Israelites, "I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you." You know, if you look through scripture and look at the names that God has given himself, there are many of the names that it's I am. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your righteousness. I am the Lord who is there. We talked about some of those names this summer. But it's always I am. In scripture, we think of him as the great I am. And when it comes to healing, a lot of people today want to switch God's name from the great I am to the great I was. Say, I was the Lord who heals. But you know what? We don't get to define him. He defines himself, and he said, I am the Lord who heals. Present tense, I am. Our God is the healer. Now, it brings up a lot of questions sometimes because we can say, well, okay, well, if God is a healer, then why do Christians get sick? Why am I suffering from a sickness? And why, when we pray for them, do we not always get well? And listen, those are good questions, and I'm not going to stand up here and claim to have all the answers. But here's what I do know. Ultimately, we can always say that ultimately, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be healed when our time on earth comes to an end and we enter his presence forever. But also, when we pray for healing, and you heard us talk about this in the announcements today about the healing place, when we pray for healing, and we're going to pray for healing at the Healing in Place event coming up, one of two things always happens. You will either get healed of your sickness, and sometimes that happens in a moment. Sometimes that happens over time. You know, the Bible talks about gifts of healing and the gift of miracles. And some people have made the distinction that miracles happen in a moment, healing happens over time. And I can tend to agree with that. So when we pray for people, you'll either get healed of your sickness in the moment, or it could be over time. Or if that doesn't happen, Here's what I know will happen. You will get sustained in the midst of your sickness. Even if you don't get healed, the Lord will continue to sustain you. And you know what? Some of us today have stopped praying for healing because you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've seen nothing happen. But here's what I would say to you. Unless you have a direct word from the Lord that you're no longer to pray for healing, something similar to what he said to the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul said he prayed and prayed about this thorn in his flesh, and the Lord eventually said, "My power is made perfect in weakness." So Paul had a direct word that, you know what, I'm gonna live with this one. But listen, here's what I want you to know. Unless you have a direct word from the Lord that you're no longer to pray for healing, you keep releasing your faith and entrusting your situation to the Lord and place the outcome in his hands. Your job is to keep praying and trusting him, and you leave the outcome to him. So we're compelled to praise God because he's a God who forgives. We're also compelled to praise him because he's a God who heals. Then it goes on to say that he's a God who redeems. It says, who redeems your life from the pit. You know, the phrase the pit can also mean the grave in the Bible. So again, this looks forward to the cross. On the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and purchased our salvation. We just discussed this. So we know that when we surrender our life to Jesus, the grave no longer has a hold on us. And if we are to pass away before Christ returns, death is not the end. We have the assurance that we will be resurrected into eternal life with Jesus. And listen, if you're listening today, you're here, you're watching at home, I want you to know something. If you do not have assurance about where you would end up, were you to pass away, I want to invite you to come forward at the end. We have a prayer team down front every service. We have a prayer team online. I want to invite you to reach out to someone, whether it be online or down here. Because you know what? You can have assurance about where you're going to end up. And we would love to help you know what Jesus Christ has done for you and walk you through a prayer and help you come to have the assurance of knowing that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. So he redeems, talks about he's redeemed us from the grave. But there's also a sense here of rescue from premature death or desperate situations. You know, some of us can look back. I think all of us can look back on our lives. And we can say there's been some times where our life has been in the pit. Some of us have been in deeper pits than others. But all of us can say there's a time when my life was in the pit. And we realized we had no way of getting out on our own. But that's not how your story ended, is it? Because in that moment, in that pit, is where you met Jesus and he rescued you from the pit. That's a reason to praise. Have you forgotten? Do you need to remember where you were when Jesus met you and how where he's brought you to? When we reflect on where we've been and how we've been redeemed from the pit, it should cause us to say, God, I'm gonna praise you. That's reason to praise. And listen, if you feel like your life is in the pit today, I want to encourage you right now, start praising him even in the midst of the pit, because you know our God is one who redeems lives from the pit. So you praise him even in the midst of the pit, because you know he is a God who redeems, and he will redeem your life and rescue you from the pit. So we're compelled to praise because he forgives, he heals, he redeems. But then he goes on to say he crowns. He crowns you with love and compassion. You know, the Bible in many places talks about different crowns believers will receive in heaven. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, etc. In fact, I was studying this week and I made note, like, I'm going to do a message someday on the different crowns the Bible talks about. There's at least five that I see. So there's this idea that someday a crown awaits us. But this tells us that right now, not just someday, right here, right now, God crowns us, or we could say adorns us, with his love and compassion. He crowns us with love and compassion. David captured this idea elsewhere in Psalm 23. He said, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you remember a few years back, it was a big story when Prince Harry and his new wife, Meghan Markle, turned their back on royalty. If you remember that, walked away from the royal family, and they forfeited everything that came with the royal lifestyle. So we could kind of say, in a sense, you know, they kind of turned their back on the crown. And, you know, while we can certainly turn our back on God, and there can be times where we choose to walk a different path, here's the reality. You can never get away from the crown of love and compassion. David says his goodness and love is following us all the days of our life. Even in those moments when you were walking a different path, his love, compassion was following you. His love and compassion, he crowns you. That word crown can also mean surrounds. His love and compassion surrounds you. And understand, I said this earlier, his love is not just a theological concept. It's not just a doctrine that we study. It's something that God wants us, that we're meant to experience. He crowns us with love and compassion. And you know what? If you've never experienced the love that your Heavenly Father has for you, I would encourage you to start praying, Lord, would you help me to experience the love that you have for me? Because he surrounds you with his love and his compassion. And again, this compels us to praise God. So he forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, and he says that he satisfies, who satisfies your desires with good things. Satisfies your desires with good things. You know, a few years back, my wife and I were whitewater rafting in Colorado with a few friends. And if you've ever been whitewater rafting, you know that many times the person who's your guide will kind of tell stories along the way of some of the things that you're seeing, some of the landscape, some of the, you know, houses, things you'll see, kind of tell you the stories behind them. And as we were rafting, he told us a story about a mountain we were passing that had been named Ruby Mountain, and I've never forgot it. The story went that many years earlier, some brothers stumbled across what they believe to be rubies in this particular mountain. And once they found these rubies, they then proceeded to stop, basically press pause on their life and devote their life completely to mining this mountain for rubies. And they did that for 4 years. 4 years of devoting themselves wholly to this mountain, going to find rubies. And after 4 years of work, they came to the discovery that all the red gems that they had found in the previous 4 years were actually not precious rubies, but common garnet, worth very little. And then supposedly the locals named the mountain Ruby Mountain to kind of mark their mistake, almost to mock them. Some nice people right there. But listen, the story has stuck with me. And I share that because I think many times we, like those brothers, can go chasing after what we think is going to bring lasting satisfaction, whether it be money, success, pleasure, achievement, influence, you name it. We can go chasing it, but many times we come to the discovery that those things, although they're not bad in and of themselves, at the end of the day, matter very little and cannot satisfy. It's only the Lord who satisfies. And it says he satisfies our desires with good things. Many times we let our desires lead us to chasing after many things. We think, oh man, once I get this, if I have this, I'll be satisfied. Nope. You find out that the line you thought you had to get to be satisfied just continues to move. But when you're pursuing the Lord, it says that he satisfies your desires with good things. The Bible says he's a good father and he gives good gifts. He satisfies our desires with good things. And again, this should compel us to praise God. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. And then this section of the psalm ends by saying, so that, I mean, this is a statement of purpose. He does these things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It points to the idea that not only as we praise God are we strengthened and renewed, but that he releases these benefits in our lives, so that we will be strengthened, so that we will be sustained in the midst of what we're going through, so that we will be renewed day by day as we walk with him. So again, why do we praise God? It's not just some warm-up. It's not just something that holds us over until we, you know, we get to the message when we come to. We should praise God, whether it be here or anywhere else, because God's mind conceived our praise. meaning he created us to praise him, because God's being commands our praise, and because God's works compel our praise. And in a few moments, we're going to do just that. But what I want to do now is, just like David said, forget not. He said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One of the ways that we forget not, one of the ways that we remember what Christ has accomplished for us, is by coming around the Lord's table and partaking of communion together. And so we're going to do that now. And so if you have your elements, you can grab those. If you're joining online, you can grab those now. But you know, when I think about coming to the Lord's table, there's a lot of things we could talk about that happen. But first, we come to the table. I want you to know that the Lord invites you to his table, which means that when we come to the table as one who's been invited, it's reassurance of his love for us. When you come to the table, you should be assured again that the Lord loves me. There's nothing I could do that would ever separate me from his love for me. When I come, I'm reassured of Christ's love for me. So I come to the table. But then when I reach out and I take the elements, I want you to understand what's happening here. You are in essence saying, I am taking the benefits of Christ's death to myself. You know, when we come and remember what Christ has done, it's not just we're here to remember all the pain and the agony he went through. That's not an unworthy thing to do. But we're here to remember what he accomplished at the cross. And we take to ourselves what he has purchased for us. We take the benefits of his death. We thank him for that. And what are the benefits? He forgives our sin, all of our sin. He heals, he redeems, he crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. And so as we come to the table this morning, I want you to be reminded you're coming as one who has been invited. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you are invited. He's invited you to the table. He gives us reassurance of his love for us. And then as you reach and take out, as you reach and take, you're saying, Lord, I take to myself everything that you've purchased for me through the cross. So if you want to take that top layer off and grab the bread there, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. And you can peel back the next layer. And again, the juice represents his blood that was spilled for you and for me. And then it says, in the same way after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. You just thank him right now for the blood. Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for all that your blood accomplished. Washes away my sins. Healing. Deliverance. Redemption. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake together. Lord, we thank you We thank you for the cross, and we thank you for all that was accomplished at the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us of all of our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who heals. You heal all of our diseases. Thank you, God, that you redeemed us. You have bought us back. I thank you that you crown us with your love and compassion, and your goodness and your love are following us all the days of our lives. I thank you that you satisfy our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed. Thank you that you're strengthening us even right now, Lord. We thank you for all you have accomplished, the victory that you've accomplished in our lives. Jesus, we love you. Now, church, I want you to stand to your feet. And in a moment, we're going to praise God. Listen, you know, there is a certain sobriety that we should bring to the Lord's table with us. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? When we're around the Lord's table and we remember what he's done, what he's accomplished for us, again, it should lead us to praising God for what he's done. And so you know what? We're going to praise him right now. And I want to encourage you to give full voice to your praise, because you were created to give him praise. His holiness commands our praise, and his works compel us to praise. Come on, church. Let's praise him right now.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the shall return in
on, church. He is great. Lord, we praise you in this place. We praise your name, Lord. Thank you that you're the name above all names. Thank you, Lord. You're good. Thank you that your goodness and your love are following us all the days of our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people who always, everywhere we go, are always giving you praise for who you are. You've created us that way, and we're going to praise you, Lord. We're not going to let the stones cry out. We're going to praise you. I thank you, Lord. You are praiseworthy. You are worthy of all praise. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. We love you, Lord. That's good. That's good. Listen, if you need prayer for anything today, we'll have our prayer team down front. We would love to pray with you. If you're online, watching, joining from home, we would love to pray with you there as well. Reach out to our prayer team. Guys, thanks so much for being here today. Have a great Sunday, and we'll hope to see you back next week.
Man, I absolutely loved that last song. Isn't it such a great way just to get to sing these truths over ourselves? And I gotta tell you, especially starting off this series that's going into worship, I can't think of a better way to start and end each of our services. So I hope this has been impactful for you, but guess what? We're not done yet. We got plenty more left, so keep coming back.
That's right. And if you can think of somebody who would be encouraged by today's service, share it with them. Yeah. You know, that is what's so great about our phones and text messages and all of the online things that we have, is that you can grab the link from YouTube and send the service to somebody just to encourage them. Maybe you want to watch it again yourself and dive back into just what it means to worship. And so I just invite you to do that. I invite you to invite somebody to church next Sunday. Have them come and experience this. Yeah. Exactly. It can be as simple as a text message, whether you invite them to come to one of our campuses with you, or maybe even just have them over for coffee and donuts and a worship together Sunday morning. We would love to hear about that, and I encourage you to do that. But again, we're so glad you were here this morning. I hope you have an awesome week.